Live from Bradenton, Florida this morning, Pittsburgh Pirate broadcaster Greg Brown joining us here in the final day of his spring training reports that go by so fast. And Greg giving us four spring training reports and officially ushering in the spring in Bradenton for the Pirates. Greg, a big performance from the Pirates the other day, a 12-1 win over the Twins. Anytime you put up double digits in terms of runs, it's a good day at the office.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's I think how many times we've talked about this, Garrett, about wins and losses. Though I said coming down here that it was interesting to read the quotes of a couple veteran players. I think Frazier and or McCutcheon said something about the difference of 2025, the experience that they brought in with Frazier and Pham, and now Andrew Heaney, the pitcher, that they know they have to get off to a good start to carry that momentum through the second half of the season. You know, last year in July, they were a couple games over 500. They were then a couple games of a wild card spot, and then they collapsed.
Yeah.
And so they talked about, you know, changing the narrative this year. And they made some changes on the coaching staff and in player development. And again, adding some veteran leadership. And I heard one of them say, or read about one of them saying that to carry the momentum into the regular season, they'd like to try and win in spring training, which you never hear. And players that have played big league ball, my colleagues in particular have talked about over the years, Bob Walk, John Wehner, to name a couple, say that the spring training just it completely meaningless. You can't carry, you know, and we get caught up in this too, by the way, when we watch these players. John and I mentioned it on our webcast the other day. We keep repeating the mantra, I'm not going to get caught up in spring training numbers. I'm not going to get caught up in spring training numbers. And, you know, these players are doing well. Some even the ones that aren't doing well, you can't read too much into it. Having said all of that, you know, maybe there is something to spinning it positively when they do well and when they win some ball games. Even though a lot of the wins come because they have minor league players coming in the second half of ball games and beating up on minor league pitchers.
Yeah.
But still, a win's a win. It doesn't matter what level of the competition. People, you know, that's why you're there. You're there to win ball games, and they're off to a nice little start here. And you know, maybe they can change the narrative. Maybe it's important from a fan's perspective that they look better in spring training, because maybe that will carry some momentum, and maybe they'll start saying, you know what, I'm going to give these guys a try. This could be a different year. All of that is coming into play, I think, in 2025. And to your point about the offense yesterday, you know, Jack Sawinski's looking really good. I think more important than the results are his mindset. And I know he's trying to be maybe less patient and being more aggressive when he sees a pitch to hit early in the count. Maybe that's coming into play, which, you know, that could carry over into the regular season, and Jack Sawinski can be a difference maker. DJ Stewart is a minor league free agent. He has big league experience with the Orioles and Mets, and has never really gotten a full-time gig, but first base is open. He's a left-handed hitter. Outside shot that he could play the outfield where he's been. He's not really a speedster, and left field is very cavernous, but I think they are looking for a left-handed complement to Tommy Pham out in left field. And so that could boil down to Stewart, Palacios, and Sawinski. So far, things like that have me pretty encouraged.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I think any time that, you know, the Pirates are doing well, it's a good thing. Traditionally, I ask folks around here that if they think of a question they'd like to pose to you guys, to send it in. And I have one from Steve Whistler, and it is for you specifically. He writes, if you weren't to be a sports announcer, or if you weren't in this business that you're in now, what other profession would you see yourself in, or what other profession would you have chose if you couldn't have chosen to be a sports broadcaster?
Well, I guess, Steve, I'd say that, I don't know if it's cheating to say that I'd probably still be in broadcasting. I imagine I would be doing some form of it. If not sports, you know, there was a time when I dabbled in news talk. I'm kind of a political junkie. Have toyed with the idea, and I mean really toyed with the idea, never taking it seriously, about actually getting into politics, you know, running for some local office. And that still may be on the table someday. I'm not getting any younger, but you know, if that ever came about, you know, I have a passion for the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, the city of Pittsburgh, the Western Pennsylvania region. It's in my blood. And, so I've thought about that. I try to read up and stay well versed in politics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably limited to that. I lucked out when I got this gig. I can tell you that, because I was kind of had my wheels spinning out of high school, my first year of college. I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to do with my life? I could probably also get into marketing and PR, which I've done. I've got a background in that. Consulting. I also have a passion for letting people in offices have voices let them be heard.
Sure.
is important, in my opinion, to a successful company. Let the grinders, the worker bees, have a say. And I'm not talking about union necessarily. I'm talking about in front offices and companies. I think the most successful ones are the ones that allow employees to at least express opinions and let them be heard, because there's more knowledge deep inside the crevices of organizations than I think anybody realizes.
Greg, with this being your final day of the Pittsburgh Pirates spring training reports here, I thought up a couple of quick hitters to try and pick your brain that have to do with the Pirates or PNC Park. And this is one that I always kick myself for not thinking of asking you guys, and especially you, which of the Pirates pierogies is your favorite that you that you root for?
I don't know how the world that slipped your mind, Garrett. I don't know. I'm going to just throw out, because you know this is there's a fine line here, because people get very angry when you leave people out. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Potato Pete.
Okay, I'll take it. How about what is your favorite ballpark? Obviously, other than PNC, when you're on the road, that you enjoy broadcasting at, or the city potentially, or other than PNC Park, what other ballpark do you find yourself enjoying being at?
I like them all. I really do. That's an old cliche, but I like the ones that have the better views for us announcers, which is different than the fans get.
Sure.
I like location for seeing the ball better. You know, convenient factor of the press room being close by, maybe the restroom, because between innings you may have to use the facilities once in a great while, and you need to be fairly close. So places like Cincinnati offer that. I think that Milwaukee, the Central Division, with the exception of Chicago, I'm not a fan of the stadium, Wrigley Field. I'm a fan of the city. But I'm a bigger fan of Milwaukee. But I don't like indoor ballpark stadiums. So on a nice day in Milwaukee, a nice evening when the roof is open,
mm-hmm.
that's a great place to broadcast from. And the city itself is the most underrated in the country. The Central Division is really tremendous. Petco in San Diego is nice too. Nice location for us. That's a good ballpark. And of course, you can't beat the weather.
Greg, as we wrap things up, as I traditionally do on the final day of getting a chance to talk to you guys, I ask you to pull out the crystal ball and give us a prediction for the number of wins for the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2025. Last year, I think they were under a lot of the numbers that you guys threw out there, but for an updated prediction, how many wins do you have the Pirates in 2025?
I've got them at 88.
Ooh.
Which is a huge jump, but I've got them at 88, and that gets them more than likely into a good place in the postseason. You know, they won 76 last year, and so you're saying to yourself, man, they go from 76 to 88. In my mind, win a couple more games a month. If the bullpen is like we think it should be, and I think they made some tweaks to that bullpen that makes it that much better, starting with David Bednar, his return to full strength, to getting that command back, to being the type pitcher he was, is going to set the stage for the rest of the bullpen. I think they have an outstanding starting rotation. Also, I didn't mention this before in the previous three conversations we've had, Garrett. One kind of under the radar, but a huge difference maker.
Okay.
Paul Skeens pitching every 5 days. You know, that it's a few more starts.
Yeah.
It's 30 starts now. It's close to 200 innings. That can make a difference. It can have a trickle-down effect, and just about every team, every series, is going to have to worry about Skeens and the rest of those guys in the rotation, but leading with Skeens. No more every 6 days, no more every once in a while, even 7 days, every 5 days, the big horse. I'm calling him the man of war.
I like
the man of war goes out there, and he deals, and he wins every contest he can.
Live from Bradenton, Florida this morning, Pittsburgh Pirate broadcaster Greg Brown. Greg mentioned his podcast with Mike McKendry, that is Hold My Cutter. It's available on all the podcasts. Great conversations with Pirates of the past and players and broadcasters. If you enjoy getting a chance to listen to Greg here on the Spring Trainer Reports, those interviews are very, very good. So make sure you check that out where you get your podcast. Greg, as always, it's a pleasure to get a chance to sit down and talk with you. Have a great rest of your spring training and a great season.
Hey, Garrett, I really appreciate you doing that, saying that about Hold My Cutter. That's awfully kind of you. You're incredibly well prepared. We do a bunch of these every other day during spring training, and it's great to kind of lead off with you, and you're a total pro. So thanks a million, Garrett.